the NCHC.TV studios, this is College Hockey West Weekly, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. Stop in for lunch, cater your next event, or just buy a couple of bottles of our award-winning sauces. The NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. The TAG Creative Group. Search TGRANRUD at redbubble.com and let us create a unique design for you or your business. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations around the world. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly with locations in Tempe and Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for some faith education in hockey at liberty.edu. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Jets Pizza. Sign up for our Crunch Club at jetspizza.com and have special deals delivered to your inbox. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Weekly from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us tonight on this wonderful Tuesday night. Scott Strandy with you today in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. It was beautiful today. It warmed up to 70, a light breeze, and sunshine. Can't argue that. My co-host, as always, Paul Hornstein, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial estate on Long Island, New York, where it's always sunny and 70 degrees, kind of like California. But, Paul, how are you?
I wish it was always sunny and 70 degrees. And you pretty much have my contribution for the night. So just I'll be back in an hour and I'll do the read at the end of the show.
BS on that. We are talking. Yeah, it's been quite a day today. We did the media pre-tournament media conference with the coaches and a senior or a player from each team. I shouldn't say senior because maybe some aren't. Then I had a chance to visit with Hunter Johannes, the grad student mastering communications. Paul, I think right. He wants our jobs.
Well, I'm sure you'll give him mine.
So anyway,
he probably wants more money than I do, though.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, we'll visit with Hunter first before we get rolling. But before we jump into Hunter, just your thoughts on now that things have settled out. You have the time set up for the NCHC Frozen Faceoff.
Do
we have the matchups? We knew the matchups, but now the times. North Dakota will play first against St. Cloud State.
Right. The question is obviously, how do they make that decision? I guess North Dakota, being the one seed, gets the choice, right?
Yep. And they generally will take the early day just for the more rest.
They get more rest. I don't look at it as the more rest thing. I look at it as the certainty of it.
Okay.
You know you're going to start at X o'clock.
True. That is true.
And if you're playing the second game, you have no idea. Because what if a game goes into overtime or double overtime or triple overtime? So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's going to be really good matchups, Paul. I think the Frozen Faceoff will be one of the best that we've seen. I told you, if my predictions hold true for the Frozen Four, it will also be one of the best. But the Frozen Faceoff this year, here's the irony in all this. Denver's been to every Frozen Faceoff. They never miss
right.
one.
Right.
Omaha's going to their first.
Right.
So you have those two factors playing out in game one. You have, as we've talked about, a number of pairwise implications that are out there. So knowing that, I think it's going to be really exciting. I think everybody's playing for a win more than ever.
Well, I believe one of the players who you talked to, I don't know whether it was Johannes or Reese Gaber, they acknowledged this. And not that I'm surprised.
McCade Webster was the one that acknowledged it. Yeah, from Denver.
Okay.
I asked him about Denver playing. Now, you'll hear it here in a little bit, but
yeah, like I said, you don't need me. I'll just be back in an hour.
No, you won't. You want to listen?
Anyway,
to me. Just your thoughts.
I just, you know, you have a couple of teams here that are playing for their postseason lives. St. Cloud needs to keep winning to get in, because right now they're not in. And we think Omaha is in. Yeah, they're pretty close to a lock at this point. But you know, you would still want to move up as far as you can. Omaha can actually move up theoretically one spot to the 10 overall, you know, the 10 slot in a pairwise. But if you're St. Cloud, your odds of moving up to 14 are not good. You know, you need to win, because your best chance is to win the conference, to win the AQ. And so you need to go out there and beat a Denver team that matches up pretty well with you, if not, you know, Denver, even with missing some of their key players, has a lot of firepower. St. Cloud has a lot of firepower. You know, both teams are parallel teams. I mean, seriously, they're both offensive-minded and want to get into track meets.
We've discussed that. Track meets.
I don't think anybody should want to get into a track meet with Denver. I don't even care if you're BC or BU or whatever. You're playing with fire. Now, listen, the reverse is true, too. If you're Denver and you're playing BU or BC or one of those, you're playing with fire if you get into a track meet with them, too. But even with missing two centers, Denver is a very potent offensive team, especially because their defensemen are so good with the puck.
Yeah, the interesting thing is all four of these teams, Paul, have different things that they're working on. North Dakota feels like they've come together and they're ready, but let's face it, they've lost four times to Colorado College and three to Omaha. So they've got some things to work on.
Yeah.
Denver, the number two team in the conference, is certainly concerned about, you'll hear it from David Carl. He echoes what I've been saying all year about they must play better defensively. They feel pretty good about everything else and the injury front. Omaha feels like they're just they're playing on house money, and they're just going to go give it all they got. I think Omaha and St. Cloud State, Paul, are pretty similar in the fact that they're kind of just letting it all hang out and see where things may. They're not the number one seeds.
They're not
for the tournament. They don't even know if they're in the tournament, but they're just going to let it fly.
Again, Omaha's pretty close to a lock, based on the computer models, which is unfortunately what decides this, or unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on the point you're looking at. But they're pretty much a lock. So no one's going to be playing this weekend with more desperation than St. Cloud. As a matter of fact, there's really not a scenario that Omaha doesn't get in. That was the crushing thing for CC about that game on Sunday night, is that would have been them. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, we're going to get to the coaches, the players. We'll get a little more analysis. First, we'll hear from Hunter Johannes, a gentleman that I know now, I consider pretty good for the last couple of years. So let's hear from Hunter and hear what he has to say about North Dakota hockey. You love it. The Fighting Hawks? Sioux? Hawks?
Depends on who you ask.
Here's Hunter.
All right, welcome back in, college hockey fans, to College Hockey West Weekly. Scott Strandy with you today. I've got a very special guest, somebody that I've known for a couple of years now, first at Lindenwood, now at North Dakota, and an Eden Prairie guy, so welcome in, Hunter Johannes. Hunter, how are things, and how are things in North Dakota?
They're cold. No, they're good. They're good, though. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Can I tell you right now, I am about, 4 miles from the Lindenwood campus, just finishing up the ACHA National Tournament and preparing to go up for the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. So I want to start right there. You being a Eden Prairie guy and getting a chance to play at the XL now for North Dakota, what's it been like, and how's this whole season panned out for you?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of full circle, and it's cool. I've even been thinking about it. Like, I got every year I played high school there at Eden Prairie, I got to go to the state tournament, fortunately, because we had a good team, too. And so, I felt that experience before. I've been there before. It feels comfortable to me, and it's like another home for me. So it's going to be really cool to go back there. And honestly, I'm just really excited to be able to experience that one more time, and then hopefully afterwards in pro as well.
Okay, I got to witness you play for Lindenwood last year, and I thought, let me back up a minute. Two coaches in NCAA hockey, your Lindenwood coach, Rick Zombo, and your North Dakota coach, Brad Berry, have told me the same thing. They said, when we picked up Hunter, he was a great addition to our roster. Just hearing those words from your coaches, what does that mean, and how does it make you feel?
It's an honor. Just to hear it, to earn that respect from both people and individuals and coaches who obviously have both played in the NHL and have the experience, and other, they were coaching at great programs, Zom's there at Lindenwood and Brad here. And it's just an honor. And I think it's a testament to the relationship that I try to build, with my coaches. I don't just want to be, just another number on a team. I want to be part of a family and part of something special. And those two coaches also, they've done a great job of treating me that way too. Like, I come in and, I'm only there for a year at each place and kind of in and out, which could be looked upon as, let's just play this guy and get him through. But both individuals really, have helped me grow and flourish and teach me different things that they've learned along the way, and, teach me things off the ice as well. So it's been amazing to know those two guys.
Okay, so I look at the University of North Dakota beginning of the year, and I see the roster, and I go, oh, my goodness. You guys, if you guys all come together, I don't know who's going to beat you. So that's one. Number two is I looked at your schedule, and I said, oh, my goodness, you guys have a schedule that is so daunting. You're pretty much through that part of it now. You're in the Frozen Faceoff. You're number three in the country and in the pairwise. So all of those things roll in your way, but tell me what it's been like this year at North Dakota and getting through that gauntlet of a schedule and having new teammates and bringing everybody together, freshmen and old guys and all of those things.
Yeah, I think I spoke to you last year about Lindenwood being a new team and, bringing a lot of new guys and different parts together for it being a first-year program. And then I come here and, we had all new AD core here, so those are all new guys. And then a couple, me and Cameron Berg, were the transfer forwards. So, we added those pieces from other programs as well as some freshmen to fill up the front forward lineup. So, and then even our starting goalie is a transfer from Miami. So, just like Lindenwood was, our teams, a lot of the guys here were here previously, but we also added a lot of new guys. So it's been really cool just to, come together. But when you have new guys like this, it's really cool when you come to a special team and you're like, oh, everybody gets along, so you don't always have that. I think that's been the coolest part about being a part of the North Dakota program is the tradition, and all the guys here that are here right now want to be here, and we're all best friends and we're all family. So I think that's made the taxing year been, we've been able to get through it together. It wasn't always easy. It been a hard schedule, you know, but that's how we wanted it because we knew it would prepare us for this postseason. So, and I think we're all ready. You know, we just had a good weekend this weekend, and, you know, we're going to use it for momentum here.
Hunter, I've walked through the halls at Ralph Engelstad Arena, but and every year that I go back there, I kind of pinch myself because of the tradition that you see on the walls. What's it been like for you this year to walk into the locker room, to walk into the Ralph, and see all the guys that have gone before you? Do you still pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, yeah, especially being I'm only here for a year, right? Like, it's still every day that I come in, it still feels like it's my first day here. And, like, it's just, I don't know, there's just something around, like, North Dakota hockey that's unexplainable if you haven't been around it. Like, you have to come see it and just... It's just a feeling, like the tradition, the family, the energy, the rink, you know, just, you know, obviously, like, our alumni, like, Zach Parise, Taves, TJ Oshie, like, we have so many legends, too, that played here. So it's just, like, I've said this many times, but, like, just super grateful to be added to this tradition and this family forever. And, yeah, it's been a blessing.
I saw you the first weekend you played at North Dakota, and I saw you score some goals, and I said to myself, those are Hunter Johanna's goals, taking it hard to the net, firing a wrist shot that's impossible to stop. But the one thing that I experienced right away watching you play at North Dakota, Hunter, was you figured out how to play up to the crowd with the little celebration movements. And tell me what that's been like, scoring goals at the Ralph.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. The fans are obviously second to none here. You won't see it anywhere like it is here in college hockey. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think every player loves scoring. But, you know, I think a lot of the time we forget that it's not always for us either. Like, you know, like, a little celebration can go a long way with obviously helping the fans, like, you know, give them an experience or give the next youth hockey player, you know, a smile on his face. And for me, like, I try to enjoy it as much as I can. Now I'm 25 years old, and, you know, it's my last year of college, and I still try to have fun with it every day. And, you know, it's not always easy, but little things like that for me, making sure that I keep in the back of my mind, like, this, what I do is not always for me, it's for my family, it's for fans and stuff, and so stuff like that, like, I get to have fun with it and play the game I love on the ice, but then hopefully fans get to walk away and say, hey, I like that kid, or, you know, I want to come back to another game because they had a good experience.
Yeah, good stuff. So as you look forward now to the Frozen Faceoff and then the Frozen Four beyond that, the NCAA tournament as a whole, I think a couple of things, Hunter, that I see from different college hockey programs are there are some definite programs that winning a national championship is equally as important as moving guys to the NHL. I think one of those places is North Dakota. What's it been like to work towards winning another national championship? And you guys have seven, so eight would be pretty nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, we would all love that. That's been the goal all year, but... you know, we've been kind of taking it a weekend at a time, a day at a time. And so now it's just, we've gotten to that time of the year. We won the Penrose, which was our goal at the time. And now we're just trying to check off the list here and give the fans what they deserve. Like, I think our team deserves it. We, you know, if we can continue to do what we're doing here, and, you know, it's fun to fight with your brothers and go into battle and, you know, win something together. So, yeah, it'd be amazing for the whole city here.
I know you don't want to look ahead yet because you've got work left at North Dakota, but it appears that a professional career at some point is in the works. How do you keep that in the back of your head right now when you're 25 and you know this is the end of collegiate stuff? How are you able to block that out and just move forward as a North Dakota Fighting Hawk?
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, you think about when you're younger, and then, you know, here and there, like, obviously it's always been a dream of mine, but right now I'm just, yeah, I try to the best thing that I can do is be my best ever. And those things will hopefully come to fruition for me. Like, if I'm focusing too far ahead on things that I don't want to say they don't matter, but, you know, they should be necessary to focus. It's going to take me away from what I need to do right now and to be my best, you know, to help my teammates. So, you know, I the good thing is about it, you know, you can try to play and hopefully people are watching and you're playing at a big program like this, you can do it until the end of the year, really. So I just try to, you know, focus on the team and what I have to do today.
Hunter, appreciate your time as always. You're a class act. Keep it up. I will see you down in St. Paul. And I'm guessing there's a whole boatload of people coming up from Eden Prairie to watch this.
Oh, yeah. There'll be lots of family and friends, so it'll be pretty special.
Thanks for taking some time with us today. Appreciate it as always. Best of luck the rest of the way, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one.
All right, that's the power forward from the University of North Dakota. Hunter Johannes played 3 years at AIC, played a year at Lindenwood, now a year as a grad student and communications master's student at the University of North Dakota. We'll be right back with another segment of the College Hockey West Weekly Podcast.
All right, we are back. Paul Hornstein, that's the first time you've heard it. Your thoughts on Hunter Johannes and the player that he has become?
Well, listen, he's a good player, really good player. I don't blame him for staying in college as long as he can. That's what I did. So, you know, he's a solid player, very responsible 200-foot player. And like most of these guys, they're just, you know, so down to earth. And so, you know, just it's always we, not I.
Yeah, that's well put.
But you had to get that Minnesota thing in there, though, right?
Why not? Anyway, the one thing with Hunter is, you know, keep in mind, like I said, he played 3 years at AIC, then came to Lindenwood for his senior year, helped them establish a program. And I don't think there's any doubt that he was a factor last year for the Lindenwood Lions. Rick Zombo knew in his grad year that he was going to have one more shot. Rick told us a number of times, I'm trying to get my guys some exposure for the future. He was not disappointed at all in the fact that Hunter was able to move on and jump onto a program like North Dakota where, oh, by the way, Rick Zombo was an alum as
well.
Right,
yeah, well, we know, yeah.
So anyway, giving him the opportunity and for Hunter to still be locked in the graciousness of both programs and being a part of both of them. And I just think it's a pretty cool situation. And you don't see that in other sports. Usually it's one and done, two and done, they're gone. And not in this sport. These guys remember where they came from. And for the most part, they keep it up.
Well, listen, there's all the factors that are involved in the other collegiate sports or involved college hockey too, just not to that same level. There's, I don't think there are any college hockey players getting seven-figure NILs, but you never know. But, you know, most of these guys, you know, people, if you have no experience as a travel hockey player, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. Wayne Gretzky had to play those 5 a.m. midget games and peewee games and those long road trips to get to practice.
What? Wait a minute. He wasn't playing in the pros when he was 14?
Close, but no. Anyway. And I'm talking, even, you know, and obviously I'm talking like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years. These guys, that happens early when you get involved in that stuff. And it's very hard, you know, that will humble you very quickly.
Boy, is that a good point or what? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to go through some of these clips. This may be a little bit difficult because I'm jumping around here. I'll try to play the questions that I asked to the coaches. So let's hear the first question that I asked to the head coach from the University of North Dakota, Brad Berry, during today's press conference. And you'll get a feel for what Brad thinks as well.
I will call upon you. We'll start off with Scott Strandy, Ice Time Hockey West.
Brad, I talked earlier, I think back at the NCHC opening weekend, where we talked about having as many players, new players, freshmen, old guys, whatever. How has it been for you, and as you look to the Frozen Faceoff this weekend, just how have they come together?
Yeah, it's been, Scott, it's been a great journey here. And I think I told you earlier on, you never know, when you bring in that many new faces, whether they're freshmen or whether they're transfers, when you bring in that many in, you're not sure how it's going to go. And I think it's a tribute to the guy returning players as well, and our leadership group here, of everybody getting on the same page early on and playing to our identity and playing kind of what we are here within our culture. And, I think I was listening to Reese's commentaries on all your questions. I thought he was outstanding in answering all your questions, but he talked about character, and he talked about guys that are willing to do anything for the team, and all 14 of them are. And the transfers that we brought in here, along with our returning players, they gave our young guys a chance to get their feet on the ground and to see what the NCHC is all about. I think you talked earlier about the gauntlet of the schedule in the NCHC. Well, we had a gauntlet of a schedule in our non-conference, playing Minnesota and BU, and and what I really like about our group here is, we did win the Penrose, and that was a great accolade to have. But I'm even more proud of our first half of the season, when we went through the whole first half of the season with only two regulation losses in our first half of the season. That tells me everybody was on the same page from day one, and everybody was willing to do whatever it took for the team.
Kind of a quick follow-up to your schedule is, the majority of your losses have come to two teams, Omaha and Colorado College. What do you take away from those and help prepare you to win a national championship?
Yeah, well, I think, both teams are very good teams. In the NCHC, from, 1 to 8, at the end of the day, anybody who steps on the ice has a chance to win. It's at so high a parity and such a really good league that you have to be playing your best. And, we went into Omaha at the end of the season after winning the Penrose, and, Omaha was on the outside of the bubble looking in, and, they were playing really good hockey before we went in that last regular season weekend, and they're on a roll. They're feeling it right now. They're playing well, and they play with a lot of desperation. And, I think at the end of the day, Reese just brought it up, this time of year, it's a team that's the most hungry and the one that's willing to do whatever it takes to win that game. And, I think you're going to see four teams this weekend. All four teams have a little bit different things going on. I know a year ago we came from Omaha. We went into Omaha as the fifth seed and won in three games. And then we had to turn around and go to the XL Energy Center. We had to win out. We almost got there, but we didn't. And we had to play desperate hockey down the stretch. And it is so tough and difficult to do. But, at the end of the day, you just got to – you got to play to your identity, and you got to play a relentless game.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. Next, we'll go to Adam Schell.
Paul, I'll let you reflect a little bit on that while I queue up the next quote here.
Well, I think the key point there, and without a doubt, the most impressive thing about the North Dakota season is how quickly they did come together. How fast that group gelled to put together the season that they put together at 26-10-2. And there's still work to do because, as Coach Berry mentioned, everybody that's playing this weekend is playing for different things. You have, Omaha, like I said, is pretty much a lock. St. Cloud is playing desperate to get in. Now, whether it takes one win or two wins for them to get in, I don't know. Okay, my guess is that it's going to take two wins for them to get in. They have a a very slight chance of getting in as an at-large. Their best bet is to win two games this weekend and not leave it to chance. So
yeah,
they're
totally
playing
agree.
With that desperation. You have the fact that they won't say it, or at least not directly. There's a big difference this year between finishing with the third seed and the fourth seed. And this is not a knock on the other three potential number two seeds in this tournament. But there is a big difference between Michigan State, who's pretty much locked into the five, which would be the top number two seed, and the guys right now at Maine, Quinnipiac, and that other maroon and gold team, who right now would be the other two seeds.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to try to jump in with my last question here to Brad Berry regarding two of his outstanding young players, one offensively in Jackson Blake, one defensively in Jake Livanovich. Just give me one second here to cut this in, and we'll get going.
You're talking about two players there that, were a big part of this team, especially as the year wore on. Blake from the start. Livanovich, played like a freshman, especially the beginning of the season, right?
Yep, here we go. I got it queued up.
Good luck.
Center ICU.
Hold on a minute.
Hey, my coach.
I missed it. I missed it by a second. Let me speed it up here a little bit.
You speed it up.
That's an unbelievable job on the defensive side. Any comment on the play of those two and what they will mean for future successes this year?
Yeah, so Jackson Blake, probably Brad Schlossman can maybe hang on the call later if you have questions for him, because he's all has all the stats. Like, he amazes me. He does such a great job of giving me information that I don't even know. Jackson Blake, his second year in college hockey, had a really good first year. I was hazling out his head in second year. I think he's creeping up to be a 100-point player in our program, which there's only one or two guys that's ever done that in 2 years. He's a difference maker, and he's a competitor. He loves the game. He loves being around the rink. He's such a humble guy. And what you're seeing right now is, people see him score goals and assists and being an impact player and difference maker on the ice. What I see as a coach, he's turning into an outstanding leader. Like, there's not too many guys that are sophomores that take charge of not only their line, but their team a little bit too, of saying the right things on the bench. And sometimes as a sophomore, you rely on the juniors and seniors or the grads to kind of drive the bus, and they do. But he's chirping in too. Like, he's saying all the right things that coaches or leaders would say on the bench right now, and that's only raising the bar for his game and the rest of the guys around him. So I see a leadership side of him that's coming through that normally you don't see with young guys. With Jake Livanovich, he's fearless. It's pretty intimidating to come in as a player from junior, especially as a defenseman, and play in a hard, heavy, fast league as the NCHC. And he is, I haven't seen a guy that's, the last guy I probably could say that has that fearless mentality that we have. We have a lot of those guys, but Troy Stetcher was kind of like that. Like, he was fearless in everything he did, and the fact that not only hard to play against, and Jake's a really good defender, and you might look at, his offensive prowess right now, what he's doing, and you're saying he can't defend. He can defend. But what I see in Jake is that he wants to be the guy on the back end, and he's patient and calm with the puck. He doesn't throw pucks away. He makes good tape-to-tape passes, and he's just a guy that's not afraid to have the puck on his tape and not afraid to go get the puck.
Thanks, Brad.
There you go, Paul. Your thoughts on his comments on Jackson Blake and Jake Livanovich.
Well, Blake is going to get 100 points. He's got two games left, and the odds of him getting shut out in both of those games and that would mean they lose on Friday and lose the opening round of the NCAA tournament. That's just the odds of that happening and him not scoring are just too minute. So he's going to get 100 points. He has 99 right now. You know, again, we talk about those guys with those NHL bloodlines, right? We talk about it all the time. And they just seem to, they see the game differently. You know, as for Livanovic, you know, the question was more from, you know, was never a question of physical skills. Let's just put it that way.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, let's hear from St. Cloud State, which will be the opponent on Friday at the Xcel Energy Center. Here's head coach Brett Larson. I'm stumbling all over the place here. Here we go. Here's Brett, and my first question to him.
As you know, it's one and done right now. As you enter into this phase of it, how do you feel your team is prepared for one and done?
Well, I like to first go at it. It was a one-and-doneer Sunday night against Western, and I thought our team came out and played without fear and got after it and played one of our best games of the year. So small sample size, but if we keep that going, I'd be happy with that type of effort on a Friday night.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
So there's Brett Larson, short and sweet on that one. Your thoughts on him talking about the ability to play one-and-dones?
Well, they are playing. That's all they're going to have left from here on out. At least to the next two nights. Or one, you know, they have to. It's a one and done for them on Friday, and it's a one and done for, even if they win on Friday, it's no different on Saturday. And so they're basically going to be in at least two straight one and dones, two game sevens. And maybe a third, and if they happen to pull that off, then there'll be more one-and-dones. So, I mean, you know, they also continue to prove me not right. I can't say the other thing.
I hear you. I think
I think
we're ready to go with a couple of comments from Dylan Anhorn, the captain at St. Cloud State. So let's roll that.
Your thoughts on this past weekend against Western Michigan, their style of play, what they tried to do to you guys, yet you overcame that. How will that propel you to your next round?
Yeah, for sure. They're a big, heavy team that play playoff style. So I think it was a really good test for us to come up on top and that really tight checking, physical, playoff type, playoff atmosphere and tight games. So I think it was a really good challenge for us. We rose to the occasion, performed pretty well. And they had a lot of high skill on that Western Michigan team that we're going to see the same against Denver. So I think we're prepared for it. We know it's going to be a great challenge. Denver's obviously one of the best teams in the country, but we have a lot of faith in our group and belief in ourselves. So I think we're excited for the challenge come Friday.
Thanks, Dylan.
That was Dylan Anhorn, the captain, who, by the way, Paul, did not get to play last year when St. Cloud State was at the Xcel Energy Center due to an injury.
Yeah, I mean, his season got cut short last year, his first season at St. Cloud after he transferred from Union. And they missed him dearly. And this year he's been able to play, played the full season. And was very solid for them, both ends of the ice, 32 points, including 26 assists, and on a plus 16. As for his season, and I'm sure he's really looking forward to this. They've had the advantage of playing in the big rink. And, so those guys are constantly adjusting their game, right? I mean, maybe it only takes a couple of shifts to do it, but you still have to go back and forth. And remember, you're not playing at home, or you are playing on at home. So, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, he's second on the team in scoring, behind Fedi Mietinen, who's a really good player. And, you know, him, those two guys, and Kyler Kupke and Zach Okobi, four of the top five scorers, they're all graduates or seniors. So, you know, this is veteran leadership, Paul. This is it for them, you know, and you know, they showed it on Sunday night where they came out and just basically grinded out the game and took Western out of it. I mean, you know, they just never let Western get a sniff.
Okay, let's go to the number two team and head coach David Carl. Here's my first question for Coach Carl.
Off with Scott Strandy, Ice Time Hockey West.
Coach, congratulations on another frozen faceoff. Just want to get your thoughts on the team and the way they're playing right now, and if they're peaking or have peaked, or where you would say they're at, based on the fact that you have so many freshmen in this roster who really aren't freshmen anymore.
Yeah, I think the team's come together nicely here in the second half. You know, our league schedule has been, I would say, very challenging. We've been, I think people forget that we were fifth in our conference a while back and had to climb our way into a home ice spot and solidifying ourselves in the national tournament picture as well. So that was not guaranteed in, like, end of January. And so I've been really impressed with the run the group has gone on. Doing it without Rizzo for the bulk of the last, I think it's 12 games now, without King for the last, I think, six to eight games. Different people have had to step up in big-time ways. Our freshmen have grown up a lot throughout the year. It's a little bit of what we envisioned when bringing this team together, just with how young we were, with the 11 freshmen, that we'd have a real high ceiling. We just needed to keep getting pushed and keep working on our game, and our league has done that for us. So really proud of the guys where we're at. I think we're playing good hockey right now, and you know, happy to keep our playoff journey going.
Coach, the secret this time of year is goaltending and special teams, as you know. I think Matt Davis has been playing incredibly well for you now. Is he 100% yet, or is nobody 100% at this point?
Yeah, he's fully recovered from the injury he had in the first half. And, you know, he started every game since January, since coming back. And I would say he's just like our team. Our team game's improved and he's improved. And I think those two things are connected, you know, and it's given us a little bit more consistency in goal. But again, we never really thought we had a team problem, not a necessarily a goaltending problem. In the first half, we needed to get better defensively as a unit, and I think our forwards have done a better job. Our D are doing a better job, and in turn, I think it's making Matty Davis's job a little bit easier, and he's doing a better job with what's being thrown at him.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, there you go, Paul. Haven't I not been saying that all year, that they need to get better defensively at the University of Denver?
Well, we knew that. I mean, you know, again, part of the problem is they're so skilled offensively that they almost mesmerize themselves when they have the puck. If you understand what I'm getting at. You know, I mean,
absolutely, I do.
You know,
as so, I eat my dinner, by the way.
Well, that's good. It was nice to know that you're getting something to eat. That's good. You know, sometimes, you know, we eat on the run. So, but yeah, I mean, this weekend again, you know, the big and again, I don't want to make it sound like these teams are afraid to be in the quote-unquote wrong bracket. But, you know, it does matter. It does matter.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, it does matter. okay, I had another question for Coach Carl. You hear this one is about his offensively gifted player who everybody in the NHL has continued to overlook, and nobody wanted to take him for the seventh round. One Jack Devine. Here we go.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about the development of Jack Devine? I think we saw it the previous few years, but boy, this year he's kind of taking on a new role and putting the puck in the back of the net for you.
Yeah, he's had a great year. Yeah, really proud of him. And he's had the opportunity to, you know, learn from some pretty good guys in his time here on the right side, you know, that kind of played in front of him the last 2 years, and Barrow and Mazur and Brink, and you know, and he's had some great veterans to learn from as well that he's had here too. And so I think Jack is someone who loves the game of hockey. He's always working at his craft. He's in our facility, you know, a lot, working on his body, taking care of himself, watching video, doing extra work. And you know, I think people forget he was the second youngest player in college hockey 2 years ago. He just turned 20 this year. So it's, he's a young player still, and just scratching the surface of what he can be as his body physically continues to mature. I think that's been a big part of his progression as well. It's just the natural maturation of his body, getting stronger and more confident at the level.
All right, we'll take these.
There you go. That's talking about Jack Devine. Paul, I've been talking about Jack Devine, as you know, for 2 years.
I can't keep track of all the pom-poms you wave. I can't.
I thought that kid had something when he first came to Denver. I thought, what's wrong with these people? Because I saw him at the World Junior Camp, and I'm going like, what are people not seeing that I'm seeing here? Because I'm seeing a lot. Well, he's got 54 points, and it's spread out, Paul. 27 and 27.
Yeah, can't argue with that. That's nice balance right there. And you know, it's again, we and that's on a team that's, you know, that is obviously very skilled offensively. And it's now, listen, has he had to pick up the slack for guys being hurt? Yeah. Okay. But, you know, he's 10 points better than the closest guy on his team. And Zeev William, now granted Zeev's a defenseman, but still. You know, you look at the balance in this Denver team, and that's how they've been able to overcome the injuries, right? Jack Devine with 27 goals, Zeev William a defenseman with 9. Rizzo had 10 before he got hurt. Tristan Bras Bros with 14. Carter King before he got hurt, 15. Aiden Thompson, 11. McCade Webster, 11. Miko Matika with 16. Riga Lorenz with 14 goals. Jared Wright with 14 goals. Sam Harris with 13 goals.
We get the picture. They know how to put the puck in the net.
Well, I'm just – again, right, that's how – you know, that's how you've been able to overcome losing two players.
Yep.
Like King and Rizzo and still being a threat to win every night and at a high level. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I'm trying to queue up Nolan Sullivan, the fifth year captain at Omaha. We'll get to that in just a second. But just to follow up the Denver side of things, Paul, I've got a little note that I discovered today on faceoffs. They are exactly 500 in wins and losses on faceoffs. 1182 and 1182. How's that? How does that happen?
When you win as many as you lose? What do you mean, how does that happen? You win one, you lose one. Yeah, I mean,
You're funny. Okay, let's go to Nolan Sullivan.
Ha ha, funny or
a little scratchy, but you what?
Ha ha, funny, funny like a clown. What?
Ha ha, funny. Here we go. There's Nolan Sullivan. We're gonna catch the end of his comments, and then I'll jump in with my question.
And just doing their job, and I think that's why we've been so successful over the last couple months.
quick follow-up to that, if I can, is against Colorado College, you guys played that typical Omaha-style hockey where you were physical, you were strong, you were tough. In a one-and-done scenario, which you were in a couple of nights, how is that going to lead you into this weekend, and what will you take away from it as you get ready for Friday night?
Yeah, I think it's a great experience for us. I think the whole stretch, I mean, I know Coach Cabinet and I were laughing that even during some media, it was always like, hey, this is a big weekend. And we've been hearing that for about 2 months straight. And so I think there's been a lot of learning over the past few months and just being in those situations where it's felt like playoff hockey for a while now, and just understanding the importance of each weekend down the stretch and for us trying to improve heading into the national poll. So I think between especially like the Colorado College series at home we had into having to win two big games in Miami and then coming home to take on North Dakota at home there and to get those two big wins, I think all that really prepared us for the moment in Colorado College to have that success. And, you know, I said it after Sunday too, but it would have been a lot easier to throw in the towel after Friday night and just be disappointed and to think, hey, it's not our year. But, you know, let's just show us the character of this group, that there was no quit. There was never any doubt. And we just kept throwing punches.
Hey, Nolan. Of course.
Nolan Sullivan. Paul, your thoughts on him? I apologize. I didn't get the whole front half of my question here. So maybe I'll try to recue that as you do
that. Well, we get the gist of it. I mean, again, they were dominated for basically the first 8.5 periods of those 10 periods in Colorado Springs at Eddie Robeson Arena. And yet they managed to pull out of it, showed a lot of guts, and took over that third game, even though it was a one-goal game. You're sitting there and it's like, man, oh man, you're watching and waiting to see if CC can pull it out again, even with the extra attacker. I mean, and it just, you know, Omaha held them at bay. It's pure and simple.
Yeah.
You know, and they wouldn't let the go-to guys for CC take over the game in the last 30 minutes and, you know, ended up pretty much locking themselves into the NCAA tournament.
Paul, did you hear the comments? He said, well, we played pretty well. We knew we had to win this series. Then we went to Miami. We knew we had to win that series. Then we came back and played North Dakota. We knew we had to win that series.
Yeah, I mean,
they've been playing playoff hockey for literally 2 months just to stay alive. You know,
I mean,
are you going to count these guys out of the frozen faceoff? That's what I'm going to ask right now.
Am I counting them out? No. Honestly, okay. The thing about it is, though, weirdly, they have the least amount to play for.
Yeah, good point.
I'm not trying to say that in an insulting fashion, but they're pretty much locked into the place where they are in the pairwise, thus seeding. And they're pretty much locked into where they're gonna have to where they're gonna play.
Yeah.
So they literally, I mean, I don't want to say they don't have anything to play for because that's stupid. You want to win the championship? You know, you want to be the captain of getting a nice handoff from Commissioner Weems there, but you know, they're locked into where they are. And it's just I know it sounds weird, but again, you know, you are playing for a trophy and it matters, but in a weird way it doesn't. And they're the ones that have the quote-unquote least to play for.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% correct. And,
you know, Paul, which is crazy.
And you said that to me earlier today. You said, you know who else could have been in this position if they'd have won Sunday night? Colorado College.
Yeah.
Could have been the same one.
Yeah, they would have been.
Not quite
been,
so much because they wouldn't have known for certain where they're going to go. But we know Omaha's going to Sioux Falls because they're the host.
You're the host. Yeah.
All right, let me play the rest of this question to Nolan because I think it's worth hearing.
But yeah, I couldn't be more excited for the opportunity to do it as a fifth year here after 4 years of just some ups and downs is just pretty incredible. So we're very excited.
Thanks, Nolan. Next, we'll go to Scott Strandy with Ice Time Hockey West.
Nolan, you and I talked at the NCHC preseason media, and we talked about what it was going to take to get here. This weekend, watching you play, it looked like Nolan Sullivan put this team on his back and said, we're going to St. Paul. I'll call someone.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's good to see you again. I think, you know what, this group's special because everybody plays a pretty unique role in the success. And nobody gets asked to do anything they weren't recruited to do here. And I think for me, just trying to be a pretty steady voice as an older guy who's been through a lot and just really be good every night and consistent with what I'm bringing, whether that's winning faceoffs or going out on the penalty kill, making sure defensively we're playing solid. I feel like those are kind of my three main areas I like to take a lot of pride in. And then I think as a group, like everybody's just stepping up and really setting in and just doing their job. And I think that's why we've been so successful over the last couple months.
Quick follow-up to that.
Okay, Paul, your thoughts on that one?
Well, again, right? All the coaches and all the players, like it's at playoff. It seems like we've been in the playoffs since the beginning of the new year.
Yep. I totally agree.
And they kind of were. I mean, because they were, you know, especially spots 2 through 6 were so tight. We're so close, fighting for that first round home ice advantage. In 3 of the cases, it worked out, and 1 it did not. But you'd still rather take your chances playing at home than on the road.
Absolutely. Okay, let's jump to Mike Gabonet. Here's my first question for Coach Gabonet.
Coach Gabonet, once again, go ahead and type name in the chat, and I will call upon you as they come in. Looks like the first one to come in, Scott Strandy, Ice Time Hockey West.
Coach, congratulations on making that trip to St. Paul. I know it's exciting for you and your program, but I also know you're not done yet. Talk a little bit about Colorado College and destroying them, if you will, in a battle. And now you've got the opportunity to do it to some other teams that you're familiar with.
Yeah, thanks. Obviously excited to get to St. Paul. And I don't think I'd say destroying Colorado College for sure, but very, very obviously close series. They're hard-fought series. And as Sully mentioned, you know, to lose on Friday, come back and find a way to win 2 games Saturday and Sunday was really impressive for the group and just so happy for the guys, you know, to keep on playing and to head to St. Paul. So really looking to build off that and keep that momentum heading into St. Paul for the weekend here.
Thanks, Coach.
Short and sweet with Coach Gabonet on that first question. Your thoughts, Paul?
Well, yeah, they didn't destroy Colorado College. But, you know.
I know. It was a little bit of a slip up. I meant to emphasize the battle it was because it was a battle.
It was. There's no doubt. And again, kudos for his team for doing what they had to do to win. And doing it in a tough environment on the road, when you could have, after Friday night's game, shriveled up and walked and melted away.
And they did many not. People commented about that today, by the way. But okay, one more clip. I asked him about Nolan Sullivan. I also asked him about your guy, Simon Lacozzi. Here we go.
Back to Scott Strandy, Ice Time Hockey West.
Coach, this time of year, it's goaltending and special teams and. If you can, talk a little bit about the development of Simon Lacozzi, what he's meant to your program down the stretch. And then just to touch again one more time on Nolan, I thought he was incredible this weekend, just kind of willing himself and his teammates to get Ws.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just first off on Simon, you know, he's a guy that just continues to develop and get better and, you know, a great young man. And as Sully said, a really good leader too. He's got a quiet little ability to lead. And I think he's just done a great job developing all season long and had a little bit of a rough patch too in the middle part of the year, and which happens when you're playing that level of competition on a weekend to weekend basis. So you know, and just to continue to just grow and focus on the process and continue to find ways to get better, just speaks for him. And then obviously to have a big weekend going against Umberto too, you know, that's obviously got a lot of accolades in the league, and to play how he did and compete how he did and go three games how he did is you know, just an example on how special he is as well. So he's a great, great young man, and you know, just a tremendous goalie and competitor, and just so proud of him that he's had the success that he's had here down the stretch. And then just to touch on Nolan Sullivan again, just like I said earlier there, just again, you know, and he wasn't feeling good. We've got so many guys that, you know, to really look back and what we did with the health of the team is unbelievable, to be honest. And he was one of those guys that's still battling some illness, and you know, just you know, just like he said, I just had this belief that, you know, for what he's done for the program and where we're at, it wasn't going to be over, and it wasn't, and he's a huge part of that.
Coach, with Simon, I visited with him at your practice earlier this year, and I joked with him because a puck hit the glass, and he jumped about 15 feet, and he said, "I don't like being on this side of the glass." He said, "I'll take the puck, but I don't want it on the other side." So,
yeah,
what a class act.
Yeah, he's a great kid, and yeah, he definitely doesn't jump when the puck's coming at him. Real, that's for sure. You bet.
Definitely.
Paul, that was thrown there just simply for you. I'm sure you're the proud father figure of Simon Lacozzi.
Listen, you know, first noticed him in the World Juniors, right? I mean, and Imbarico was in those too, and we knew that the league was getting two really, really good goalies, and you know, Lacozzi won this round, right? And I'm sure that there'll be plenty more battles. With those
yeah,
two,
there will be. There's no doubt about it.
Over the next bunch of years, I'm sure.
Okay, I know I'm jumping around here, but I do have the clip from my question for from one McCade Webster, the captain of Denver. So I think this is going to be interesting, Paul, for you to hear. Here we go.
Okay. Scott Strandy, Ice Time Hockey West.
Hey McCade, congratulations on getting to the Frozen Faceoff. Just want to get your thoughts on this team this season. The way you've had to go through it, injuries, the number of freshmen you've had, and your role as the leader.
Yeah, so I'm pretty confident in our ability. I think we've matured and developed quite a bit throughout this year. I mean, it's pretty evident. Obviously, with our defensive game, but kind of keying off what DC was saying, we've really transitioned into playoff hockey these last few weeks and the importance of it. Obviously, it's very competitive in our league, so every game you can't take a night off. But yeah, I mean, I think as being a leader, there's a lot of leaders in that locker room, and there's a lot of guys that step up even when guys are injured. So I'm very proud of our group so far, and there's still a lot we have to accomplish.
McCade, you're building right now, but you haven't peaked yet, I don't think. Does it feel that way in the locker room, like each and every week you're building towards where you want to be ultimately?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, we don't think we've peaked yet. There's obviously still room for improvement and some areas of our game. But overall, I think we're all pretty happy with where we're at and our trajectory right now, and we're fully confident as a group, and we believe in one another and trust one another, and I think we just play for one another as well.
Thanks, McCade.
McCade Webster, that's the first comment. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, again, you know, everybody's got different things they're playing for this weekend. And we've been saying it for the last, you know, all show. And, you know, Denver's also playing to get to double digits. And, you know, there's...
Double digits?
Yeah.
Are you talking about number 10?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. I want to make sure we're on the same page. Let me play this last.
Of course, that's not anywhere close to the amount of times you've had Michael name drop your name in these cuts. Holy cow!
Well, how else is he going to recognize who's turned into the speech?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I got one more for you. McCade Webster as well on the importance of playing in this Frozen Faceoff.
McCade,
as Michael mentioned earlier, you guys have been to every Frozen Faceoff. What does this year mean, and particularly since you've been there so many times? Is it different? Is it the same? What does it feel like for you?
Yeah, I think it's different for sure. I mean, I know I haven't won. I mean, I've won two Penroses since I've been at Denver, but we've never won the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, and that's, I've said that from the start of the year. That's one that I want this year. And I think our group really wants it. And obviously there's big pairwise implications for winning it. And I think this year might be a little bit different. I know last year we had quite a few injuries down this stretch and bad illnesses, but right now we're fully confident and we're pretty desperate to win the trophy.
Pretty desperate to win the trophy, Paul. What does that tell you?
Anybody that thinks that only the coaches pay attention to stuff like the pairwise or whatever it is, whatever the sport is, if you think that that most of the players also don't pay attention to that kind of minutia, then you don't know anything about athletes.
Yeah, you certainly are correct there. Let's hear from a couple of our partners. We'll come back and wrap up this episode of College Hockey West Weekly in just a minute.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.tv. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.tv.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations at 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me.
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
HC.TV Studios, ITHSW Podcast presents College Hockey West Weekly.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Weekly. I know it's running a little late. Scott Strandy with you tonight from St. Louis, Missouri. My co-host, as always, from the big, beautiful palatial estate on the Long Island, New York. Paul, just want to kind of tie a bow on all this as we prepare for a big weekend of NCHC hockey. All of our teams in the coverage area are playing in this tournament. That we have left anyway, left standing. So
yeah.
Just your thoughts on what you expect on Friday and Saturday.
Well, this is almost the best weekend, right? Coming up just across college hockey.
Yeah. Championship weekend, right?
Championship week. It's just, yeah. And just, you know, all the games and all the desperation and, you know, typical playoff hockey.
Yep, no arguments on me from me on that. Just a quick programming note, we will do a special show on Saturday to recap.
If I'm awake.
You'll be awake. Really? Friday morning. What time did I tell you? 9 a.m. Eastern, the time that everybody knows.
What? You'll be awake. Did you tell me? What?
9 a.m. Eastern. You'll be awake. If Stephen can get up, Stephen Marsh can get up at 7 a.m. Pacific to do a week's worth of shows. You can do one on Saturday at 9.
That'll Whatever. Does he have to get up and drive 50 miles to work and have to deal with cranky teenagers?
Maybe not. Okay. But anyway, we'll do that Friday to wrap up and preview Saturday night's championship game, and then we'll be back live on.
I think you mean Saturday morning.
What did I say?
Friday morning.
I mean Saturday morning. Yep, you're right. Friday night's games in the Saturday night's championship game. We'll be there for you. Paul will be awake, and he won't be working.
Maybe.
Anyway. So anyway, that's a good wrap on a lot of conversation. My day was packed with it, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it was, you know, crazy day. Between Johannes and the Zoom, you know, a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, we'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein and the Peacemakers after you do your read.
From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Weekly, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue in Las Vegas, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style. Go to jesseraysbarbecue.com to order lunch, cater an event, or pick up a few bottles of our award-winning sauces. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV, subscribe to NCHC.TV to catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group, search T. Grand Rudd on redbubble.com, and have us create that unique design for your business or gift-giving needs. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly. 3 locations, 2 in Tempe and 1 in Pine Top at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. Liberty University, hockey education and faith with equal passion at liberty.edu. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. College Hockey West Weekly and all of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app. Help others find the podcasts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the shows at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word, on your favorite podcast platform. College Hockey West Weekly and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. We will say a hearty good night with Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, De Niro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.